Blog Talk Radio.
It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. It's been too hard living, but I'm afraid to die. I don't know what's up there beyond the sky. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes it will. I go to the movie and I go downtown. Somebody keep telling me don't hang around. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes it will. Then I go to my brother. Say, brother, help me please. But he winds up knocking me back down on my knees. Lord, there have been times that I thought I could last for long. But I know a change gon' come. Oh, yes it will.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another segment of Let's Talk Fort Worth. I'm Carrie Hines, your host. A reminder, we do not own the rights to the music you just heard. Also, please click tag and share. Tell someone Let's Talk Fort Worth is on the air. And we're about to speak with Dr. Cedric Belcher Sr. with the Grace Temple Seventh-day Adventist Church located at 4200 East Berry right here in Fort Worth. We're going to talk to him about a wonderful outreach ministry for the homeless at his church. I found out about the ministry totally by accident and was brought to tears as someone told me about the good work that they were doing over at Grace Temple. I was at the library right next door to his church doing research, believe it or not, on a project for the homeless, and found out about it totally by accident. I immediately contacted the church for more information, and here we are. Let me tell you a little bit about my guest. Dr. Cedric Belcher Sr. is a proud graduate of Oakwood College, now Oakwood University, in Huntsville, Alabama, with a BA in theology and a minor in psychology. He is also a graduate of the Seventh-day Adventist Theological Seminary at Andrews University in Bering Springs, Michigan, with a Master of Divinity degree and a Doctor of Ministry. Ladies and gentlemen, help me welcome to Let's Talk Fort Worth for the very first time, Dr. Cedric Belcher Sr. Good evening, Dr. Belcher. How are you?
Good evening, Carrie. Thank you so much for giving me this honor and privilege to be a part of this community that has been created. I'm just grateful and honored to be on with you all this afternoon.
Wonderful. Listen, you know, I told, you know, a little bit about your bio, but tell us a little bit more about who Dr. Cedric Belcher is, a little bit about your church, your worship services, your denomination, that type of thing.
Personally, I was born in Liberia, West Africa. I was born to an African-American father from North Carolina and a Liberian mother. I spent most of my life in Liberia, went through several life-changing experiences, civil war and refugee and so forth. And then I came to the States, and then the brief bio that you read kind of sum up that part of my life. I grew up as a Seventh-day Adventist. We are a Christian denomination. We believe in the totality of the Bible and Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior coming soon, baptism and the Old and New Testament. And we believe in Bible Sabbath, that is on Sabbath. And part of what we do here at Grace Temple, besides Grace Temple being known for its music ministry, and if I can just say that, and that Kurt used to play at Grace Temple before he went nationally and internationally. So we are grateful that that is taking place. But one of the things that we want to do was to just not known for music. We wanted to be known for community outreach. And out of that, we've been able to reach out to our community, and we're trying to do that to see how we can impact our community.
Wow. What do you believe God wants the church to do where the poor and the homeless community is concerned?
Well, I believe in Jesus' first sermon, he enunciated a clear pathway to how we can reach out to our community. He said, I came to serve the poor, the needy. I came to reach out to everybody. So the church is the church. If the church is not reaching out to the less fortunate within its community, and we at Grace Temple, we do believe that it is our divine mandate and mission to spread the gospel to every segment of our community, especially those who are less fortunate.
As far as the city is concerned, do you think, just say the Fort Worth community right now and what we see in terms of our homeless population, do you think the city is doing enough for the homeless community, or could they be doing more?
First of all, we need to look at what has been done, and then we can decide if it's enough. I always like to start with positive. Fort Worth Housing Solutions was able to create the cage, the Esperanza, to help those who have been homeless for about consecutive months, apartment complex. And you have also the Tarrant County Homeless Coalition that is doing something. Of course, Union Gospel Mission. So in a way, the city is doing something, but of course, there's still more that can be done. And that more might also take organizations that are not, quote-unquote, the city. It will require, for example, churches, nonprofit organizations who can step in and say, okay, there are still needs, and so because there are still some needs to be fulfilled, we can step in, we can check in, we can jump in, we can offer our services as well. So there's always more to be done when you still have close to about 2,000 people homeless. There's still more to be done. But yet, we can still affirm that works have been done by the city.
I'm sorry, repeat that number again. Are you saying 2,000 homeless people here in Fort Worth?
I was looking at some numbers not too long ago, and I think if I'm not wrong, the numbers were, even though we are one of the lowest, second lowest in the state of Texas, the numbers were, I think, close to 2,000.
Wow.
I'm not mistaken.
That's a lot of people. You know, the Bible says that the poor you will have with you always. So do you feel that if the city or the churches are not pull in their full weight, that individually each person should feel some type of compassion and do something to help the homeless community?
Carrie, that's a great question. The Bible stated that the poor would be with you always. It did not say that you should not take care of the poor. The Bible does state a reality that is going to be perpetuated by the lack of involvement, the lack of providing services. If we don't provide services, you're going to have them with you always. And
wow.
So it is the obligation of the city. It is the obligation of religious organizations to not criminalize or dehumanize this population, but to find out, to figure out how we can be of service, because they are still part of our community. And every aspect, every individual in our community need to be ministered to. And so that's the premise. That's the basis upon which we at Grace Temple, we want to operate. We want to be able to serve everybody in our community.
Well, then tell us, you know, the reason that we're here today is, you know, y'all listen, I'll be honest with you, I was brought to tears because it's so ironic, Pastor Belcher, that I was at the library. I wasn't even supposed to be at that library, going to another library to do research on the homeless community here. And the clerk that I got at the library was just, he was trying to figure out where was my research going, because it was going in a certain direction that was toward the homeless. And so he was trying to figure out what was the project about. And as we began to tell him what we were trying to do, that's when he said, oh, my God, that's the church next door. And then he began to tell us all the things that you all were doing. And I was just completely blown away and left there in tears. So tell us what it is that Grace Temple Seventh-day Adventist Church over at 4200 East Berry is doing as far as their homeless outreach ministry.
Well, Carrie, thanks for that question. First and foremost, I want to give kudos to our neighbor, the library. You can come to our community to do research. That's awesome. So I want to say kudos to our neighbor. What we are doing is, again, we started something in 2020 called iTouch for Works. The goal was to spontaneously and intentionally do acts of services within our community. So we set a goal of touching 120,000 people within our city. And just that time, the pandemic came, the COVID-19 hit our community. But fast forward, in December, we're able to touch 175,000 people with acts of kindness, some of which included going to our first responders and praying for them, doing services at laundromats, paying for people to do their laundry and gas stations, and providing food for the homeless. That was part of our ministry. We had about 15 different ministries that we were doing throughout the week. And one of those ministries was our homeless ministry. So we wanted to make a difference. We had somebody on our team who was a manager of one of the restaurants in the city. So they were able to partnership with us, and we were able to provide food and some other things for the city. So I guess maybe somebody saw what we did 2020, 2021, and decided to partnership with us. And this time that person happened to be an organization called Cloud Covered Streets, started in Arizona. And their goal is to provide free shower, laundry, haircut, employment opportunities for the homeless population. So we got an email. We've never met the person before, Sarah. Sarah called us, sent us an email, and she wanted to find out if they could partnership with us, for us to partnership with them, and then together, they can send in mobile units on Wednesdays to serve the homeless population. We were ecstatic. We were like, oh, yeah, sure. No problem. You can do that. And so that's how that partnership started with Cloud Cover Street Ministry, organization. And so we went through the various logistics, what needed to be done. And so out of that, they were able to bring their mobile unit on Wednesday. So they are on our campus on Wednesday at 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. They provide showers, they provide laundry, they provide haircuts. And then out of that, too, we had another organization, Goodwill, that comes in now and start talking about employment opportunities and so forth. And then in addition to the showers and laundry and haircut, those who come are able to get a fresh clothes, towel on the clothes.
Wow.
And, I mean, it's amazing the transformation that takes place when they come and when they leave.
Oh, wow. I'm tearing up again. I'm serious because, you know, it's one thing to be down on your luck. But, you know, so many times when you are, people just count you out. People, you know, basically, you know, you're looked down upon. And so it's so nice to know that there is an organization that's doing what they're doing, a church that's doing what you all are doing, that's allowing these people to have some type of a dignity, you know, even though they're going through hard times, that they still can have a place that they can do these things and still, you know, have some hope that, you know, tomorrow's going to be a brighter day. We got a phone call coming in, so we're going to take 314-381. Good evening. You're on Let's Talk Fort Worth.
Hello, Carrie. I got a question, an idea. Why not collaborate with Mexico and take some of those homeless there along the river and build a settlement for them? They have a lot of land where they can get involved in agriculture. The temperature is more ideal. I mean, they have very temperature nowhere near like it is in your northern cities where they have to seek shelter. So why not do that? You have people that's coming out of those countries coming up here from similar conditions, but I don't think that they're utilizing especially the aid that the United States give to those countries to a great extent. So why not see if we can migrate some of them down to those areas and where you got plenty of room, you don't have the jurisdiction, the ordinances to contend with, the possibility of, you know, the crime, and build a settlement there for the homeless. And then when they get on their feet, maybe they can consider coming back and being productive citizens.
Oh, we're going to let Dr. Belcher answer that one. Dr. Belcher, what are your thoughts?
Oh, great question. First and foremost, I believe that we need to make sure that we settle the issue of homelessness in our community first. Mm-hmm. I do believe that we need to do international ministry. I do believe that we need to do outreach. But we have to first and foremost take care of our community first to make sure that whatever the number is reduced. And in the process of doing that, then we can look at the picture that you
I think you kind of mistaken what I said. I'm saying that you got homeless in Fort Worth. Why not transport them down to Mexico there in all this spacious area where they can build a settlement, get involved in agriculture, and learning skills, build homes, and things of that way. You take them out of the city of Fort Worth and take them over there. You don't have the laws. You don't have the ordinances that you contend with and the other things that they have to fight in these cities, not only Fort Worth, but these other cities too. So they got plenty of spacious land there. Why not collaborate with the government of Mexico or any other one in Central or South America?
Okay, I think I got a pause on your question. Our homeless population are citizens of these United States of America.
Mm-hmm.
And my opinion is that we don't need to transport our citizens somewhere else to take care of them.
Mm-hmm.
We need to take care of them right here in our own yard. We don't need to send them to our backyard to take care of them. What kind of statement, what are we saying if we do that? Are we saying they're less off? Are we saying we They're not better. Are we saying that they're not humans? Mm-hmm. So I believe.
I don't think we're seeing that.
Hold on. Let me finish. Mm-hmm. I believe that they are still citizens of this country, and we do not leave our citizens and send them somewhere else. We take care of all of our citizens right here in these United States of America. And I believe that we need to take care of them right here as opposed to sending them somewhere else, because there are more land and more things that we got more land and property here. We need to do it right here in our community so that we can let them know that they are still part of us. We can let them know that they still have opportunities, because there are stories of these individuals who have been helped and who have gone on to become productive citizens of this country. And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to move people from one stage of stagnation and building the confidence and building the personhood so that they can make substantive contributions to the community and realize that they are citizens of this country.
Mm-hmm. Well, I hear what you're saying, but it don't seem like it's getting done here. And then you also run into the question of cost. Apparently, the churches are not stepping up to take care of the problem by which they are granted their tax-exempt status to handle things that people would otherwise look to the federal government for. So I think you should open up those options. It's not saying that you're getting rid of them. It's that you're putting them in a more ideal environment where they can, their needs can be taken care of better, and also they will be able to gain skills, like I said, probably in agricultural skills, because they can help produce the food that they would consume in these settlements. That's my point of view. But thank you very much, Carrie.
I think your question has a segmentation again that kind of perpetuate this segmentation that this population needs to be treated differently than any other population of our community, and we can't do that. We need to treat everybody the same. They need every ounce of whatever funding that we do for any other population. They need the same thing too. So we cannot say that, well, the church alone should do that. No, just as other demographics receive funding, it is our responsibility to make sure that that population receive the same level of attention, the same level of funding, so that we can help them to get on their feet and become productive citizens of this country. Because there are many of them who can become. All they need is some help in order to get them from one place to another.
You know, Dr. Belcher, you mentioned demographics. What type of demographics do we see in that 2,000 or almost 2,000 people that are homeless in our community?
I did not drill down that number, so I don't really have the figure. I was talking in terms of demographics, in terms of how we as a country, how we provide for different groups of people, different groups of situations, illness, mental, whatever the case may be.
Okay. So how can the community help your church, make this outreach even bigger to reach even more people? What could be done?
Well, first and foremost, again, I want to give kudos to Cloud Cover Street organization. Just the thought behind the concept, the idea of providing a mobile unit that can help the homeless population to get a nice shower, laundry, haircut, and the possibility of employment. So first of all, again, Cloud organization. What we were looking for is the opportunity is here already. We need to expose more of our homeless population to what the opportunity are so that they can maximize the opportunity. Cloud Cover Street is investing a lot in doing what they're doing, and we just want to make sure that we can leverage, we can put the word out there in our community that this is taking place and this is another means, another opportunity that can be a blessing to our homeless population. So, again, just to put the word out there that you can come every Wednesday from 9 to 1 p.m. at the Grace Temple Seventh-day Adventist Church, 42,000 Eastbury. And as a homeless person, you can receive this. If you know any homeless person, you can do that. If you know any organization that works along with that population, you can send that word out so that our homeless population can receive the services and opportunity that has been provided by our partnership.
You know, Dr. Belcher, you mentioned about, you know, the fact that they almost seem to be criminalizing homelessness. Have you considered going down to our city council, you know, because you're so articulate, and posing that question to them, why are we criminalizing the homeless community here? That may be one way to get the word out. And tell them, you know, our city council meeting is tonight, by the way, at 6 o'clock. But telling them about what you're doing and the fact that, you know, it's just not right when someone has lost everything and has found themselves probably in the worst shape of their lives for them to feel like they're then being criminalized by the city that they're in. What do you think in terms of our city we should be doing in terms of the laws and decriminalizing, you know, the fact of their situation rather than criminalizing them?
Thank you again, Carrie. It's a great question. To the first part of your question, you asked if I'll be willing to go to city council and do that. I'll be willing to go anywhere I can because as a spiritual leader of my community, especially with African-American roots, our community is not just my church. Our community is where the church is. And so it is our obligation as a spiritual body to make sure that we can articulate the hope and aspirations of the voiceless, those who cannot speak for themselves. And if there is an opportunity for me to do that, I will be glad to do that. So if there are opportunities for me to go ahead and do that, I am most glad and excited to do that on behalf of this population. I think one of the things about anything in life is lack of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes because we do not have the requisite knowledge about certain things, what we create is that we create opinions that are not based on facts.
Mm-hmm.
And with the homeless population, we have bundled them into this one category.
Mm-hmm.
That is, if we are not criminalizing them, we are dehumanizing them.
Mm.
And there are so many factors that affect homelessness, mental, job. So we need to be able to be knowledgeable. We need to stretch ourselves so that we are knowledgeable on what the issues are and don't just generalize the issues and then try to help the population based on what their specific issues are so that we can address it. Again, we're trying to make sure that we have a community that meets the needs of everybody in our community. So I think we need to do a better job with exposing ourselves with what the literature is, what the information is, the facts are as it relates to homelessness. And then I think with that can help shape our perception and then also inform our actions.
You know, a lot of people say, Dr. Belcher, and I couldn't agree with what you said more. A lot of people, you know, you'll mention the homeless community, and it's almost as though it's a taboo subject. Like most people just don't want to deal with it at all. And then you'll get the comment that those people want to be there. From dealing with the homeless community, do you really get the impression that those people want to be in the condition that they're in, that they don't, they are just there because they don't want to accept any responsibility in terms of, you know, rent and mortgages and, you know, the responsibility of bills every month?
Well, if that's the exception, that is not the reality, especially so with testimonials that have come from individuals who have gone through programs like the one that we're partnering with Cloud Cover Street Ministries and other organizations, even like what the Fort Worth Housing Solution is doing. That's not the testimonial that is coming out of those situations. The testimonial that's come out of the situation is that we did not have our community stepped in and provided for us means that we could move from one area of stagnation to another area of possibilities. We just did not see it. We just did not have it. And our community did not put its arms around us to provide those things for us. Now that our community has done that, we want to take the step to do what is positive. Now, given, even as a spiritual leader, everybody, not everything is 100%. So it's possible that you might have one or two, but that one or two does not speak for the larger group in terms of what is happening. So let's not look at one and then make that a generalization of what the outcome is or what the substance of what these individuals want are. Let's look at a testimonial of what has happened to these individuals who have taken advantage of some of these programs and what their life has become. And I think that's what we need to focus on.
You know, when I was growing up, every church had a street ministry, a jail ministry, where on a weekly or a biweekly basis, they went out into the jails, they went out into the streets and talked and prayed with the homeless and tried to lead them to Christ. Where do you think the church got off at with that mission?
I think, this is just my opinion, I think that we got afraid. I'll tell you a story. I went to a church I was called to lead. And the church was right there in the depressed neighborhood, or in a depressed neighborhood. So after being there for a couple of months, I shared with one of my team leaders. After we had church and we had potluck, I said to one of my team leaders, I said, I'm going to walk in the community. And the person said to me, Pastor, you cannot go in that community. I said, why? He said, that community is dangerous. I said, really? He said, no, Pastor, you can't go. I said, telling me that I have a church, and the church is rooted in Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ says there's nothing impossible. And Jesus has called us to minister to our communities. And you are saying that what is in my community is more powerful than the gospel that I have? I said, I disagree. I'm going. He said, well, Pastor, since you're going to go, I'm going to go along with you. So he went along with me, and we walked in the community. And I started looking at the community and started seeing things in the community. And that brought to my attention some things that we could do as a church. But I'm saying this to say that perhaps we have allowed the sound and noise that is coming from some of our communities to freeze our faith, so that we are afraid to go in our communities. We're afraid of going on our streets because of what will happen to us. And what we ought to do is to turn that thing around. What if we don't go? What's going to happen to them? Because we have a life-changing mission and message that can change anybody, that can change communities, and it's a fact. So what's going to happen if we don't go to those people and we got something that can change our communities?
Wow.
So again, back to your question, I think maybe part of that could be that we've gotten afraid of our communities.
That's scary just to think about. You know, because I really just wonder, you know, with the way, you know, they're ticketing the homeless for being here and you can't sleep there and you can't, you know, do this and you can't do that. What do they really expect the homeless to do, or where do they expect them to go? Because I don't know if the aim is to drive them out of the city into another city, because, I mean, when you're homeless, you don't have a whole lot of options. You know, they'll say the shelters, but I understand, you know, and I don't want to say anything bad about the shelters here because, you know, they do provide a service. But sometimes people say that they're not safe always, or they don't feel safe in the shelter. So what – and I don't think the shelters can provide a shelter for 2,000 people if that's the head count. So what are the people to do when they're being told you can't be here, you can't be there?
Yeah, that can become problematic. If you're going to say don't do this, then you have to provide a better option. It's like me and my kids. And even like me growing up, I just did not like my parents saying, don't do this without any option. Give me a better option. Because if you don't give me a better option, I will do what I think is best. So if you say, don't do this, then let's create a better option, a sustainable option, an intentional option that can mitigate against what you are saying that I should not do. So I think that's where we need to put a spotlight on. Don't just say, don't do this, but what options? What are the options that can help me get to where I need to be, as opposed to don't just be here? Because for us, perhaps that's the best option. And that option is also a testimony to our community that you've got this group of people, and what are you doing to help this group of people? So let's not just say, don't do it. Let's say, yeah, the better option for you and for your safety as well. This is a better option and outcome out of this situation.
I agree. I mean, because, you know, when you go down Lancaster and you see, you know, in the middle of the day, all the people that are basically standing near the shelter waiting to get in, and the shelter may not open until, I don't know, 5, 6 o'clock at night, and they're there at 12 o'clock in the heat of the day just waiting, you know, to try to be first in line to get in. To me, that's just almost inhumane. And so I'm just, you know, sometimes my heart grieves because, like you say, we have so much land. We have so many resources. We have so many vacant buildings. And I just don't understand, with the assets that the city has, why is it so hard to provide portable potties? You know, I heard one city leader say once that some of the things that they saw the homeless do near this facility that dealt with kids every day, they felt that the homeless community needed to move on because they were an eyesore for the children to see when they came to school each day. And I thought to myself, but where do you want them to go? You know, like you say, give them
Correct.
Some options. But, you know, just
it's
to say,
better
you know,
option, yeah.
There's no option.
Again, Carrie, you're right again. Again, if you think this is not working, if you think that this is not what it should look like, then give us a better option. Now, so again, back to the Fort Worth Housing Solution with Casa de Esperanza, this hometown suite, I'm told that has about 122 units in there. That could be a model if it's done right, you know, for those who have been homeless for 12 consecutive months. That could be a model for our city as we continue to do more of that. So that way, again, what we're saying is that, okay, while this is not the right place, appropriate place for you to be, we have a better place for you to be. And that better place make you feel like a human being. It affirms your humanity. It affirms your personhood. It makes you to feel that you are part of this community. It has all of these amenities in there for you. And you can stay there and you can stay safe as well. So again, so I believe that those are some of the things that we need to continue to articulate as opposed to don't do this. You should not be here, but this is a better option. We got a better option that can help you restore your humanity.
You know, someone told me a story here that I don't want to tell you the whole story because it's really long, y'all. But I'm gonna fast forward to the fact that a homeless person had done this person a really nice gesture, and the person said the homeless person was struggling with all these things that they were carrying, and they told the person, "Let me help you get to where you're going." And they took the person to a railroad track, and they said, "Let me off here." And he said, "Well, there's nothing here." And she says, "We're back up in the woods." And he said, "Back up in the woods?" So all he sees is in a wooded area. So he said, "Well, I can't just stop here. I'll help you get to the wooded area." And he took her to the wooded area, and back in there was a whole community of people that were living. Yeah, and they had, you know, a makeshift living room, makeshift bedrooms, makeshift bathrooms, you know, just a whole setup. And I was just amazed to hear right here in Fort Worth, Texas, you know, people were living like this. And so, you know, he said he was just blown away that these people, they were just making the best of a bad situation. And I guess when your survival skills kick in, you know, that's all you, I guess when you don't have anything else, your survival skills kick in. And so literally he said they were living. I mean, they were surviving, you know, with all types of things that they had gathered off the street and were making uses of. And it just tore my heart to pieces to think we have so many resources here. We have billionaires in this city. And to think that there are people here living in the woods, it just doesn't make sense to me.
I completely and totally agree with you. It baffles me. And I'm not trying to be political. But we are supporting nations and giving them hundreds of millions of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
And we call it part of our national security. I think our homeless population and in disadvantaged population is a case of national security. And just as we pump those kind of money in other nations, I think we need to do the same thing for our communities as well.
Wow.
Because it is national security.
I agree. What I'm going to do is find that community. I'm going to talk to that person again because we're going to go and tell them about what y'all are doing over there on Wednesdays at between 9 and 1 because I think we really need to put something together like push cards or something where every person that's homeless gets the address and the date and time in which you all provide these services because, again, we're talking about food. We're talking – what did you say? I'm going to let you run it off again. Food, clothing, what was the other things you
did? Oh, you got showers, you got laundry, you got haircuts, you got Goodwill has partnered with us as well where they're doing employment interviews and trying to create jobs for that population as well. Cloud Cover gave them fresh clothes to wear, clothes. And those things. And we are looking at other possibility of adding some things to it. So my ministry team leader, maybe we do a vision clinic here at our church. So maybe we can add some of those components to it. So we're looking at several other components that we can add to this as well.
You know, Pastor, you have a degree in psychology. What percentage, just a rough number, do you feel of the people that are out there homeless are actually dealing with some form of mental illness?
Well, somebody once said with a jest that all of us have mental illnesses. So,
right.
But on a serious note, to answer your question, I am not too sure to what percentage, mm-hmm. but I wouldn't be surprised if it's a large percentage of those people who are dealing with all those various psychological, emotional problems that associated with, if not directly, indirectly, with some of those things that they are dealing with. And so those can lead. So even if you don't have it initially or if it's not the cause, the immediate cause of it, it can lead to some of those psychological problems.
I believe that. So what you all are doing at your church, is this something you all are doing temporarily, or is this something that you plan to do for the long haul?
Our goal is to continue the partnership with Cloud Cover Street, again, because we don't have what they have, and we don't have to go and reinvent the wheel. As a matter of fact, prior to that, to this, one of our team members was sharing with us about another ministry that does something similar to this. And in that interim, we had Cloud Cover Street to come and approach us about this. So as long as Cloud Cover Street is willing to continue this partnership and as long as we can have more people taking advantage of the opportunities that we have, we want to be here for as long as it takes to reduce, to eliminate the homelessness and any other thing associated with that stigmatization.
How fulfilling was it your first Wednesday to see how the whole service worked out and how many people were helped? How fulfilling was that?
Oh, Carrie, it was just awesome. First of all, the realization of it. You know, Cloud Cover had some bumps on the road, so we had to keep rescheduling things, and so that. It was just amazing. It's amazing looking at the numbers, how the numbers have peaked. We have 14, then we had 21 times last week. I'm assuming because of the week prior, the cold weather that came through. So last week numbers were a little bit down, but 2 weeks prior to that, we had about 20 people who show up. So just the fact that people can show up to benefit from the services that have been provided through our partnership, it's amazing. Just the fact that Cloud Cover Street can come through with their promise that we're going to be there, we're going to do this. And just the fact that Goodwill can stop by and say, you know what, we can provide the services as well. So God is blessing in a way that different groups are seeing what is happening, and then most importantly, seeing the people, the homeless who come in, and then the transformation that takes place when they leave. I mean, if it's only one person, that's one person less. So we are grateful. I'm ecstatic. Possibilities, I'm ecstatic about what has happened, and we just want to continue to grow this so that more people can take advantage of the opportunities that have been provided.
So is there anyone providing transportation, say, for people who may be on Lancaster to get from Lancaster to over to 4200 East Ferry?
No, but Kerry, I've been thinking about it, and I've been thinking about it, and this is what the Holy Ghost has been placing in my heart, that perhaps we need to partnership with our metro system, maybe.
Absolutely.
And see if they can provide free bus passes for those who will be coming this way between the time of 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., give them free bus passes to come and to go back.
Wow.
So I would like to see if we can do something like that, talk to the transportation agency and see if we can provide that for anybody who is homeless between this time, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Wednesdays. I can come, get a bus pass, come here, do what I need to do, and then go back. But right now, we as a church, we have not set up anything to do transportation.
Mm-hmm.
But again, if there are others out there who would like to partnership with us in terms of transportation, that would be awesome.
Wow. Did y'all hear that? Repeat that again. If they are looking for partnerships, if somebody wants to provide transportation and get the homeless people from the homeless situations over on Lancaster over to Berry Street so that they could do this on Wednesdays only between 9 and 1 o'clock. We're going to make that happen,
that'll
Pastor.
Awesome.
Y'all got a cash?
Yes.
Y'all got a cash app at your church or something that people can give to this to you all's effort over there?
Yes, we do. Let me see. I don't know my cash app.
I'm just so impressed. I don't know if anybody. I was like a kid in the candy store because, you know, when you see Lancaster, you just don't see anything moving in that direction. And then you hear about over on Berry Street, they're doing this, and it just makes me, like, I don't know, teary-eyed, you know, happy for them, ecstatic for them, whatever you want to call it. But
yeah.
It's good news. Yeah. Did you find it?
No, I'm talking to you now. I'm about to check my treasures. You should get sent it to me before the program is over.
Okay. Well, then I'll move on. So listen. Y'all, this isn't happening everywhere in the city. How many locations, in fact, do you know of that they're even doing this at, Pastor?
I'm not too sure how many locations. I'm assuming maybe there's another one other than us. That's my assumption. I don't think we are the only location right now. I think there's another location, but I'm not 100% sure about that.
Wow. So we need to do everything we can to get the word out to the homeless community to get over there. I think we need to get the pastor down in front of City Hall so that they can send some resources over there to help him continue what he's doing over there because it's such a great work. And so I don't know who your city council, well, I do know who your city council person is over there, and I'm definitely going to tell them that they need to put some resources y'all's way. And make that situation happen, at least with the transportation, getting the metro passes so that the people can come over there and get the resources that you all are offering. I will do that.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
That would be amazing.
Yeah, we're going to do that. We're going to put some pressure on downtown to do more. Yeah, we will. Because, you know, the thing is, it's so rare that people care anymore. You know what I'm saying? It just people's hearts are so cold. And so for a ministry to be doing such a great work, I think the city should get behind them.
Amen. Yeah. And then again, sometimes not only are people's hearts cold, but people are just not aware.
Yeah, that's true.
So we
that's
need to
true.
Bring some awareness.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And Pastor, sometimes when the awareness takes place, you can have attraction. Yes, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. Finish.
No, I was just simply saying that, you know, sometimes people are just not aware. There are some people who don't care, but then there are others who are just not aware. And when they are made aware, they make contributions.
Very
whether
true.
It's volunteer, whether it's financial, whether it's human power, whatever it is, volunteerism. Yeah.
Well, then, Pastor, let me ask you this. Will you say a prayer for our homeless community as well as for God to send some resources to help you all continue the great work that you all are doing over there? And, you know, a clarion call for anybody who wants to help.
Sure, that's awesome. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. God of grace, God of mercy, there's a calling on our community, a calling to reach our arms and help our homeless population. Father, people are homeless for various reasons. And sometimes, many a times, they are criminalized, they are dehumanized, because we don't fully comprehend, understand, in most cases, the causes of some of these unfortunate situations. But God, we as a community put our hands together and say, let's do something about it. Because their plight is tied into our humanity. Their plight is tied in to our role and responsibility as a community to make sure that we are touching each and every one in our community. And so, Father, I pray for those who are homeless. I pray that they will be reminded that they are loved. I pray that they will be reminded that they are cared for. I pray that they will be reminded that they are somebody in Jesus Christ. And so, Father, I thank God for all the various civic leaders who have a mind to do something about our population. I pray for the various organizations, nonprofit organizations like Cloud Cover Street, for the dedication and commitment to put their thoughts, ideas, and ministry together to help this population. I thank you for this program that has dedicated this time slot to bringing more awareness, abilities of what we as a community can do to help our brothers and sisters in need. Because God, we never know when we ourselves will be in need as well. So Father, we thank you so much. Continue to bless us as we partnership together. Continue to touch somebody who is listening to this broadcast who perhaps has the means or knows somebody who has the means to help with this partnership. Father, I thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. I'm going to try to pass the offering plate. Pastor, did you get the Cash App information?
Yes, I did. And here is it. It's a $ 2021, G as in George, T as in Tom, D-A. Again, $ 2021, G-T. Now, G-T is all caps. S-D-A.
Oh, wow. Okay, y'all, listen. I suggest anybody who's got a heart and any compassion for the homeless, y'all dig deep and help them out with what they're doing over there at Grace Temple. I think that's some good work. I mean, and I definitely plan myself to dig deep because I think we got to stop talking about what everybody else needs to be doing and start realizing some of this stuff we should be doing. You know what I mean? FYI, we got to do that. So, Pastor, tell people how they can attend the services over there at Grace Temple.
Oh, our services are on a flexible time. It's on Saturdays It starts at 11:50 with what is called our countdown. Mm-hmm. And then Divine Worship Service starts at 12 noon. We are in church for 1.5 hours, 1:30. We are done with church. Now, the next weekend is our Black History Month program. We have an exciting program. We want to invite you to come. Cannot make it in person. You can join us via our various social media outlets, YouTube, Google Grace Temple SDA Church, Facebook, Grace Temple SDA Church, Twitter as well. So those are various areas through which you can reach us in our services.
Well, you didn't tell us when the Black History Service would be.
It's going to be February. I'm sorry. It's going to be February 26th.
Mm-hmm.
February 26th. It's going to be the Black History Month program. And the Lord has blessed us with having a great Black History Month program.
Do you have a time for that?
Yes, the same time, 11:50 with our countdown,
okay.
And then 12 noon, the service actually starts. So you want to be in the house at least around about 11:40 to get a good seat. We're doing in-person, so you want to come in and get a good seat. And, of course, we're doing online as well.
Gotcha. Okay, y'all, so if you want to give, that's $2021 in caps, G, capital T, and then in small caps, SDA. Is that
correct?
Correct. Wow. Okay, y'all dig deep. And basically, he just told you the service times are on Saturdays, starting at 11:50. Services start at 12 noon, or I guess you say service starts at 12 noon, and you're out in an hour and a half.
Correct.
Great. Well, Dr. Belcher, you know what? It has been such a pleasure. I am so glad we did this show. I think this is definitely information the community can use, and I'm so glad that I brought you on to share what you all are doing over there at Grace Temple.
Thank you so much, Carrie, for the opportunity to share with your listening audience. You have a very powerful communicative powers that I'm sure has been blessing this community, and I'm just glad to have been a part of it, to see it, to listen to it, to hear it, and just be a part of the passion that you feel for what you do for this program. So God bless you. We'll be praying for you that God will continue to give you great success.
Thank you. And, Pastor, we're going to help you spread the word. I am going to tag everybody I know in the Fort Worth community about what you all are doing and tell them if they know of any homeless people that could use this service to definitely get them connected with your church.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Thank you. Now, that was Dr. Cedric Belcher over at the Grace Temple Seventh-day Adventist Church. They're located at 4200 East Berry Street. That's at the corner of Miller and Berry right here in Fort Worth, Texas. Listen, y'all, thank you to the audience for being with us today. We typically don't go out of rotation on Friday night, but we decided that this was just something you all could use because they do this service tomorrow. So we thought we could probably maybe get somebody an opportunity to get some of those services that they're offering over there. Y'all, we'll be spotlighting different stories like this throughout our community because there's so many great things going on that we just don't know about. And so if you have an idea of a story that we need to do, please reach out to me at letstalkfortworth@aol.com. That's letstalkfortworth@aol.com. And we'll be back here Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. We're going to be talking about some of these races, y'all. We're going to be talking about the race, the candidate, and who we're picking. So until Friday night, y'all, get out to the polls. Election early voting started yesterday, and election day is March 1st. Until then, good night. Oh, good afternoon.